wonderful preaching, blessed so abundantly. Trust that anything that we would say would not distract from the wonderful preaching that's preceded. I'd like to read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we'd like to look particular at verse 10 and 11 as our text. I'd like to title the message, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Notice with me in John chapter 10, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The one thing that we think about when we hear the word shepherd and sheep, I think most of us would think immediately about David in the Old Testament, because he is the one that penned down that beautiful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." David is a wonderful picture of Christ in so many ways. But I trust as we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, have you ever really noticed there is only one hero? It wasn't Noah, it wasn't Abraham, it wasn't Jacob, it wasn't David. David was a man after God's own heart, but David recognized himself to be a sinner. Now, it takes grace to show us our sin. This morning, it is so easy for all of us to recognize and major on the sins of others. We like to talk about the sins of others. We like to hear their sins preached about. But it's only when God, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, brings us to a realization that we are the sinner. Now, this morning, we recognize that God hates unrighteousness. God hates sin. But that is true, but also it's just as true, God hates self-righteousness. And so many times I've found that I have been in that category. I've not seen my own sin. God has a way, through His grace, bringing us to the realization that we are sinners. You know, when God reached down and He picked out an animal to represent us, now you may be filled with pride this morning and think that you're the most intelligent person that God's ever placed on the planet and that you've got it all together. You know, there's a lot of animals that God could have selected. I mean, a lot of very intelligent animals. We have a puppy at home, and she's our baby, and she is very, very intelligent. It is just amazing sometimes how intelligent she is. But God didn't select a smart dog or a smart horse. He selected a sheep. And the sheep, a sheep by definition, is one of the most stupid animals that God has ever placed on this earth. And so today, to recognize how we are and who we are, and it's not just initially, just like Brother Dickey has preached so ably, the federal headship of Christ and also of Adam. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, notice carefully what God says through the prophet. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And then there is the lesson of redemption and the atonement. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, we as sheep went astray in Adam. But not only then, do you not find today in your life that you're still battling with going astray time and time and time again? Have you ever said, I'll never do that sin again. I'll never do that again. I'll never have that thought. And then in just a little while, once again, you're doing or thinking the very same thing again. We have the propensity to go astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As you read the Gospel of John and also other scriptures, it's very clear that Jesus Christ not only is the good shepherd, but we are the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a blessing it is today to recognize that we stand in need of a Savior. Going back to David for just a moment, remember in David's life, David was the king. David really looked out one day and he saw a woman bathing and he lusted after her. He brought her to his house. He committed adultery. He then had one of his close friends, the husband of this woman, put to death. He put him in the heat of the battle where he would be killed. David was sinning time and time and time again, but he thought his sins were covered. Now, they were covered in his eyes because he rationalized, he thought he had covered his sin, but one day God sends the prophet Nathan to David, and Nathan tells David a little story. He says, there were two men in the village. One man was a wealthy man that had many sheep. And there was another man that had only one female lamb. He says, the rich man had a guest to come along. And the rich man, rather than taking one of his many, he took the only ewe lamb of the poor man, and he gave that lamb as a feast. Well, David heard this, and David became irate. He was thinking, how could this possibly happen? How could a rich man commit such a heinous crime? And then the prophet took his bony finger and he looked to David and he says, thou art the man. And my friends, when God in his providence and his grace, whether it be through the preaching of the gospel, in the Apostle Peter's case, why, it was a rooster that preached the gospel. My friends, God can take us through seasons of life that it's not the sins of others that bother us. It is our own sin, and we recognize that we stand in need of deliverance. We stand in need of a Savior. Jesus says here in this passage, he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now, notice carefully what he's saying. He doesn't just say, I know about my sheep. He says, He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Now, it's true he does know about his sheep. He says, but I know my sheep, and he says that they are mine. Later in this same chapter, he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice the security of the sheep. There are several times, or I know it's two times in the New Testament, when Jesus speaks about the shepherd that had 100 sheep. Now, I don't know. I was reared on a farm, and I know a lot about cattle, or know some about cattle. I know little about sheep, but you know, can you imagine having a large flock of sheep and then just losing one? Well, you think, well, I've got all these others. Why not just let the one go? That's just too much trouble. You know, why not just let that one go? I've got all these others. There have been a few times, you know, I've looked at life that way. Why to go to so much trouble? You ever thought in life if God looked at you and just thought, oh, he's a bad case. I mean, he is so broken. You know, why not just let him go? I mean, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And every time he goes astray again, just let that jerk go and let him have his own way. But every time in the New Testament, it says that the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and seek after the one. My friends, has it ever been a time in your life that you've been the one? That you see in God's providence that he came after you. He knew exactly where you were, and he reached your case, and you saw how he extended grace to you. My friends, life is broken. We're all a broken people. We are a broken people living in a broken world, and that's why we all need to say, thank God for Jesus. And see, when you've ever had grace extended and you really see yourself to be that sinner, it changes your life. I love Victor Hugo's La Mes. In that play, we see that there is an ex-prisoner, Jean Valjean, that spends 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. He stole that loaf of bread to feed his sister's starving children. And then he spends 19 long years in prison, and when he is released, he looks for work. He cannot find work. He looks for a place to rest. No one will give him rest or something to eat. At that time, he is bitter. He is exhausted. He is at the end of his rope, and he comes upon the church, and the minister welcomes him in to give him something to eat and a place to rest the night. Well, Jean Valjean goes in, and he has that good meal, and he's going to rest, but then he steals the silver of the couple, of the church now. He steals the silver, and he's on the run. He leaves, and the authorities find him, and they bring him back to the house, to the minister, and they throw him down at the minister's feet, and they say, here is Jean Valjean and the silver that he stole from the church. His life was in the balance. What did the minister say? When the authorities said, did you give him the silver? He said, oh, no, yes. He said, not only did I give him the silver, he forgot the candlesticks. And for Jean Valjean, that act of mercy and grace changed his life forever. And my friends, I'm telling you this morning, when we really see grace, when we really see grace extended for us, and to know that God's grace is indeed amazing, that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Yeah, this morning, grace is broad and grace is amazing, but Jesus Christ died for a particular people. I like to use the term particular atonement or particular redemption or a definite atonement. See, just think about it. Listen with me and think with me for just a minute. Some would say today that Jesus died for the sins of all men. That is one possibility. Let's just reason that out for just a moment. Let's just say Jesus died for the sins of all men. If that is the case, then all people will be in heaven. Now, I don't know of anybody today that actually believes ultimately everyone will be in heaven. So if that's not the case, how about if Jesus died for some of the sins of all men? Like Brother Dickey said, only, I mean, what if he took the ball 90 yards and all you got to do is take it 10 more yards? What if he just paid part of the price? Would you feel good about that? Absolutely not. Now, the truth is, he died for all the sins of some. And see, the thing is, if Jesus died for all the sins of all men, and all will not be in glory, then actually there will be those in punishment, in hell, being punished for their sins that Jesus, listen carefully, has already died for. That would be double jeopardy. Not only did Jesus die for them, then there would be those suffering and atoning for their own sin. My friends, that's not the case. When you look at the Bible, grace is indeed amazing. Jesus said, he said, I am come as the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He knew his sheep even before the world began, and he came as the Redeemer. He laid down his life for the sheep, and then not only that, he calls them by his voice somewhere between conception and death. I mentioned the verse last night. He says in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and also Hebrews chapter 10, he is quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31. He says, after those days I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. They shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least. That means that one that never sees the light of day. From the least, from the youngest, from that one that is a special needs child, from the least unto the greatest, he said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. My friends, Jesus Christ came as the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus Christ gave his life. Earlier in this same chapter, Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Somebody may say, well, other people can do that. Other people can lay down their life. There are people that are martyrs, and they lay down their life. There are people that actually take their own life. They commit suicide. No, listen carefully. They don't choose to die. They choose the time of their death. Now think about it. See, Jesus Christ would have never died because he is the only one that was perfect. The wages of sin is death. The reason we die is because of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, God's children are secure in grace. We have an inheritance, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. Now, do you have anything in this earth like that? Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. Have you ever had a reservation, and when you got there, you didn't have a reservation? Yeah, that's happened. You ever had a reservation and you walked up to the lady and you said, I'm here to, get my room or whatever. And she said, tell me your name. And she says, tell me your name again. And she does this. And then she says, would you spell that for me? And she does this. And then she says, we got a problem. Well, my friends, it won't be that way. The book of John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. You may say, but I am such a sinner, I think I'll end up missing heaven. The next verse gets better. He says, you are kept by the power of God. Not only is the inheritance reserved and it's sure, but you are kept by the power of God. You will reach the inheritance. My friends, in that final day when Jesus Christ comes back, he is not going to say to the Father, here, Father, is all that I could get together. Here's part of the family. I know that you want it all saved, but this is all I could do. He's going to say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue will be in heaven's world, listen, without the loss of a single one. Now, real quickly, you say, well, Brother Kenneth, your text says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you had the opportunity to ask God one question, and you knew that you would get an immediate, audible answer, what would it be? Some years ago, USA Today passed that question to their readers and then published the 5 top responses. Number 5, how long will I live? Number 4, is there intelligent life elsewhere? My question would be, is there intelligent life here? Anyway, number 3, why do bad things happen? Number 2, will I have life after death? Number 1, the most popular response by far is, what is my purpose here? It's the question that nags every human heart. Why am I here? What is my meaning? What is my significance? What is my purpose? Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you today the gospel tells us why we are here. And there is an abundant life. It's living off of Jesus every day. It's feasting on him, finding our identity in him. Did you know today that you are an heir of God? You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The thief in this text can never rob you of eternal glory. I've emphasized that truth already a number of times in this message. Today, my friends, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. You think about it. No power. No power of hell, no scheme of man. But the thief is Satan. Satan is not equal with God. Please don't leave here this morning saying that I put Satan and God on the same plane. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is sovereign. Satan is not. But Satan is real. And Satan is out to destroy your joy in this life, your Christian testimony. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Satan attacks. He attacks the mind. Today we may go to sleep and we may slumber, but Satan does not. He's out to disrupt the joy that you can have. I know people today, I know Christians that are, I mean, they love the Lord, but many times they're just so miserable in life. I mean, I don't listen to my preaching sometimes. I mean, I listen, but, you know, come Monday morning, I'm not doing what I preached on Sunday. I'm sure. Now, Brother John and Brother Dickie, they're different. I know everybody here, you do exactly what Brother John says, don't you? Amen. That's good. I had a member one time. He's dead now and with the Lord. And I had a member one time. He was getting older, and he was cantankerous. But now, he loved me. But he was in the hospital, and he was on pain medication. I went in one day to see him. And as I was walking in, there was a nice-looking nurse going to take his vital signs. And as she began to move around the bed, he said, "I'm not going to let you do that. I am not going to let you do that." And she said, "All I'm going to do is just, you know, take your blood pressure, take your temperature." She said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And I had just walked in the door. And he said, "I won't do that unless my preacher tells me so." I said, "Brother Rabin," I said, "let this nice lady take your vital signs." He said, "Okay." She looked at me like I had some special power. I said, "Listen here, ma'am." I said, "He doesn't do what I say usually, and believe me, my congregation don't always do what I say." You know, we can hear these truths, but it's so important that we incorporate them. I mean, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to look at all the things that are wrong in our life. My friends, you know, Satan is having a heyday today. I mean, he really is. And many times, God's children that could be living a joy. I'm not saying, I mean, life's tough. Life is hard. But today, we can find our joy and strength in Jesus Christ. And so you find that only in him. But you have to recognize, yes, I have an enemy. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," and he identifies him, "the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour." Yes, the psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Bible says the Lord is the good shepherd. The Bible says he is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. And all of that, I hope you will amen this morning, and I believe you believe that. But I trust this morning that every person here can say, though I believe all of that, I can say as David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When that time comes in your life, and it will come, when the doctors and nurses and family and friends have done all that they can do, and you're crossing the river of death, when everybody else have exhausted their resources, and we will for our loved ones, but there comes a time we can do no more. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Why not, David? For thou art with me. Yeah. He's with you now. The troubles that I don't know anything about this morning in your life, the struggles that you're having right now, he's with you. He's a very present help. He's with you when those nights are so dark. He gives songs in the night. When you have pain and when you struggle in life, you think, I just can't take life anymore. My friends, he's with you. I visited a lady one time at the nursing home, and she had 8 children. She said, Brother Kenneth, none of my children care anything about me. She said, they've all just left me. She said, nobody cares. She said, look at the shape that I'm in. She said, all I have is the Lord. I said, praise God. My friends, if all of your family forsakes you, if nobody comes about you, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. There's a difference in knowing about the shepherd and knowing the shepherd. I'd heard years ago about this man, these two men that had come together, and there was this great orator. He was just a man of great rhetoric and could speak just so clearly. And he stood up before this large group of people, and he read the 23rd Psalm, and it was read perfectly. After he finished, the people gave him a standing ovation. They clapped loud and long because he had done such a wonderful job. After that, an older man got up, and his voice was crackling, and he could hardly get to the stand, and he began to quote the 23rd Psalm. After he finished, nobody clapped. Nobody stood. The first man got up, and he said to that auditorium of people, he said, I know the psalm. This man knows the shepherd. In my ministry, I've known many people, after they've gone through deep, deep sorrow, deep losses, and I've seen them and God's hand upon them. And I could truly say, even in my own life, yes, maybe I know the song, but I want to know the shepherd as they know him. My friends, he's real. He'll never leave nor forsake. I thank you for your real good attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.